gabled shingled roofs. Live Oak Crescent is simply the state of the top art in living convenience, realistically priced, beginning at $250,000.
Is that a lot of jack, Doc?
Seems so to me. Upon my soul, but this must have been going on just before the ultimate madness wiped away our world. Toward the end of the year 2000. Yes, Mr. Dix, I should have said a quarter of a million greenbacks was a lot of jack, even then.
Ryan was trying to make sense of three or four lines at the bottom of the notice, set in tiny print. He read the lines out loud.
Qualified buyers based on 3.2% deposit. Monthly P&I payments for years 1 through 15 of low 1.8% loan fee. The APR is 17.35. Ask our salespersons for details of zoning fees and state and federal association costs and taxes, where applicable.
Say what?
You can see where we are and where the place stretches out. There's the center of the ville, see? All the roads meet at the Senator Fitzgerald Hackensacker Memorial Shopping Mall.
Most of the main landmarks in West Lowellton were on the map. The Counselor Zach Robbins Play Park, near the narrow river that wound through the ville, the Charles C. Garrett Olympic Pool and Tennisarium, the Neil R. Langholm Golf Course, straddling the river. The main shopping area was shaded with a faded purple overlay, and the location of several motels was shown, including the Snowy Egret on the far side of town, near where West Lowellton oozed out from the edges of Lafayette. A Holiday Inn was only a half mile or so from the dramatic Crimson Arrow with the message, "You are here."
First time in years I've known where I am.
The houses around them were mainly single-story, stained green with mosses and lichen. Most of their windows and doors were still intact, though several of the roofs had collapsed where damp had seeped in and rotted the supporting timbers.
Where do we go?
I figured that one of those motels could be our prime target. From the excellent state of these buildings, it's reasonable to believe they might be more than adequate for shelter.
I just don't believe this place. Doc, you got knowledge like no man I ever met. I've never seen houses all together like this from before the long cold time. How come it... How?
Neutron missiles, as we speculated. They seed the land with them, and the physical structures are hardly touched. Within about 10 days, 98% of living creatures are on their way across the dark river from which there is no returning.
You mean they fucking die, Doc?
Yes, Mr. Finnegan. That is what I fucking mean.
Then what's happened to all the bodies?
As the bright, dry, summery morning progressed, they saw them everywhere. Tumbled, scattered bones on the edges of the sidewalks, on porches, in gardens. Bits of ivory among the overwhelming shades of green. Here and there, some creatures of the nearby wild had feasted on the bodies, ripping apart the skeletons. There might be a single, long, straight femur, its end gnawed smooth. Or a skull, grinning emptily, yards from the skeleton it had once topped.
It's a boneyard.
Yeah. I've seen bodies dried up like old leather in some of the redoubts we found over the years with the trader, you know?
Sure. Like husks. Lips peeled off, yellow teeth, all of them grinning at us. I recall that, but this is just bones, white as snow.
It was an unusually long speech for the phlegmatic armorer, but then it was a sight to stir anyone's imagination. A century ago, the whole town had been blasted away from above. Its streets and houses had been scoured clean of inhabitants. Families had been destroyed with the demonic breath of the neutron bombs. Russian submarines off the coast had lain still and patient and received the signal that told them this was no drill, no false alarm, no testing situation. The people had died, and the houses remained. It was a cemetery, 50 miles wide and 40 deep. Only in the swamps had people survived. Many of their descendants were now muties. They avoided the ruins of the old villes, fearing the contamination they once harbored. The whole of West Lowellton was like some giant time capsule, frozen since that dread January day 100 years ago. Ryan was fascinated and wanted to investigate each home and shop they passed, but J.B. warned him of the need for food and shelter.
That Baron Tourmont's going to have patrols of sec men after us, Ryan. Look at them later.
Yeah, guess so.
There were surprisingly few buggies or wags of any kind, Ryan's guess was that when the alarm started to shrill, lots of folks would have headed out of town, away from the missiles they knew would wipe away their homes. But nothing had prepared them for the reality of Armageddon. All the flicks that Ryan had seen in old redoubts had warned about painting windows white to cut down the flash blast. Blankets soaked in water over doors, sandbags, refuge under stairs and in storm cellars, brown paper bags over your head. It hadn't been like that. The best way of saving your skin from the long agony of rat poisoning was to take out the pump-action scatter gun and blow everyone's head off, and finally kiss the warm barrel yourself. Some had done that. Ryan had seen the corpses, half the bone of the head missing, the corroded 10-gauges still between the clenched jaws. There was one saloon wagon in a side street, its tires long rotted, stripped down to metal by years of high winds, blasted by sand. The glass remained, though its surface had been hazed until it was opaque. A branch off a nearby lime tree had fallen over the hood. Christy moved it, revealing two stickers peeling off the chrome fenders.
I break for children and animals and patriotic Americans.
What's that other one?
Happiness is having the biggest long-range missile.
Doc shook his head, saying nothing. Around noon, they found a street showing a full row of shops. Ryan couldn't get over the amazing sight. He'd seen old vids, flicks, and pics and mags. This was small-town USA, standing there in front of his eyes. All that was missing was the folks. Some of the windows were broken, and there was clear evidence of looting. Also, the streets here were free of bones. As they stepped along, keeping to one side, Ryan glanced in at the storefronts. Names clicked by, some registering, some not. Some of them had sold products he'd heard of. Some of them were obscure and incomprehensible. What was Alice's tofu joint? What was tofu? Some kind of food, he guessed, from a placard as faded as a Brady daguerreotype. Pick and mix. Gary's Auto Tuner. Best muffler service in West Lowellton. Inez Lobos, realtor. Ryan didn't know what a realtor was, but he figured it was someone who looked after other people's houses for a fee.
This is way fucking weird.
Ten and quarter. Circuit City. West Lowellton Estate Protection. German Shepherds. Man killers. Armed patrols around the clock and back again. Save your loved ones and your possessions. Let us do the killing for you.
Now that sounds like the Deathlands.
Guns, 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 guns. The storefront shouted the word again and again. The armorer paused, wiping at the glass. In sticky gold letters, some of which were missing, the name of the ex-owner from the year 2001 declaimed itself. Angus R. Wells, a native of Louisiana from birth. Carry arms. It's your right.
Empty. Not a blaster left in the place.
Guess the Cajuns must have taken them.
Ryan stepped around a dead snake that must have been close to 50 feet in length when alive. The armorer shook his head doubtfully, swatting away a hornet with his fedora.
Guess not.
Why?
This place closed up in January 2001. It would have had the best and latest blasters of the day. What they called car guns and house guns. Small caliber, pretty pistol.